All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Trust listeners, please enjoy this episode from the Trust archive of over 500 plus shows. You have been very patient with us, and we assure you Trust will be back with all new content in the form of Season 8 very soon. We have so many wonderful things up our sleeves that we cannot wait to share with you. But until then, please consider heading to dressedhistory.com, where you will find information regarding our upcoming fashion history tours of Paris and New York, which are both open for registration and selling fast. And while you are there, also consider signing up for our upcoming online course offerings, which include What Women Wore to the Revolution, coming your way in May. More from Dressed coming your way very soon. With over 7 billion people in the world, we all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, the History of Fashion, a podcast where we explore the who, what, when of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, April Callahan
and Cassidy Zachary. Well, we do love a good origin story on Dressed, and today's topic is no exception. Because while we might all know what a sailor uniform looks like, how many of us know its origins? I know I did not. Or how the sailor collar specifically made its way into being a staple of fashionable attire for men, women, and children for, oh, let's say the past 150 years. And today we have the origin stories of not one, but actually two fashionable collars, because we also had a listener request about the origins of the Peter Pan collar. So lots to uncover here today, April.
Yes. And our first inquiry comes by way of Betsy, who wrote to us to say, quote, "Always easily wooed by the sailor collar, I have accidentally collected a surprising number of vintage patterns with sailor collars on everything from a halter dress from the 70s, very cute, to jackets and short sets from the 1950s, maybe a little juvenile for a mature woman. And I won't even list the children's patterns ranging from babies to tweens." I think there is no such thing as too many, Betsy, just so you know. But she goes on to say, this leads me to my question about sailor collars, because a squared off back with a more traditional V-shaped front collar, including a tie, has been in existence on Navy uniforms the world over for centuries. And there must have been a purpose behind this design. Do you know what it is?
Well, before this, I did not, but now we do, because we did some fashion history digging. So thanks for writing, Betsy. And what a fantastic question. This question actually sent us back hundreds of years and led to some rather surprising finds. For instance, April, it might seem obvious after I say this, but navy blue, well, it got its name because of the dark blue employed in the blue and white uniforms of officers in the British Royal Navy, following the regulation of said uniforms in 1748.
But while the officers of the then most powerful naval fleet in the world had regulated uniforms by the mid-18th century, which were essentially decorated tailored suits that reflected their social status as much as their position, the low man on the totem pole, the sailor, did not. And there appears to have been many reasons for this, one of them being that there was a high turnover rate in this position, and also that it was not a position that was really respected and thus deserving of a sort of acknowledgement or the monetary allotment of funds for this purpose. So, let's be honest, it was these sailors, not the suited officers, that were doing the hard labor. These men wore clothing that were, by all accounts, as practical as they could be for the hard work that they were doing. And that meant that they needed clothing that was easy to work in, but also clothing that protected the body from sun, wind, and their main professional hazard, which is, of course, water.
Which is actually how many of these men earned the nickname Tars. So during my research, I came across this great blog called British Tars, 1740 to 1790, and it's maintained by Kyle Dalton, who's a specialist in 18th century maritime culture and early United States history. And he says that his goal with this blog was really to explore the appearance of common British and American sailors in the half century prior to the French Revolutionary Wars through primary source artwork. And it's really cool. I suggest checking it out. He has incredible documentation on there, which includes a surprising number of personal memoirs by sailors and journals of these 18th century sailors. So check it out.
Oh yeah, that's always super valuable when you can find those. And it turns out that the British tars and subsequently the American tars earned their name from the use of tarring. And tar is, of course, a natural liquid derived from coal or wood that, prior to the invention of synthetics, had been used to waterproof and seal anything from sails on boats to the clothing on sailors' own bodies.
And it is clear from the abundance of primary source images on Kyle's blog that while the sailor in the 18th and early 19th centuries did not yet have an official uniform, they are really nonetheless loosely uniform in appearance. So, you know, they're all pretty much wearing a hat, a short jacket, short trousers, and always a neckerchief, presumably to wick sweat. Accounts suggest that sailors even went barefoot on deck, which is kind of hard to imagine, but I assume something that was necessary prior to waterproof shoes.
It just seems dangerous to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, hello, splinters. And some of you might remember that one of our recent guests, Amber Butchart, came on the show to talk to us about her work as a dress detective, but she's written several books, one of which is called Nautical Chic. And in that, she provided some really great insight into this subject, attributing the unofficial uniformity of sailors on deck to something that was called the slop chest.
Which I have to, of course, say it threw me for a loop when I first read it, because I've always associated slop with what people feed pigs. But apparently in the UK and Australia, slop clothing is basically this form of cheap, ready-made, really inexpensive apparel.
And Amber writes about it saying, but it was really the slop chest that led to a degree of uniformity for sailors in many European navies. The practice of the slop chest, ready-made clothes available on board to replace garments that had worn out, was also a feature of life at sea for French and American navies, and in Britain dates all the way back to the 17th century. The original supplies consist of a number of items that are still to this day associated with maritime life, including red caps, blue neckcloths, blue wool jackets, and the availability of these items, which were paid for from the sailor's own pocket, ensured that a mariner's working uniform had a loose uniformity even before it was centrally regulated.
So we've established that neckcloths or kerchiefs have been a necessary staple of sailor dress since at least the 18th century. But I guess we still haven't quite answered where that square sailor collar developed from, although I am going to tell you I did read more than a few theories, one being that was originally worn as a form of protection for the jacket because sailors supposedly put that waterproofing tar in their hair.
Oh, lordy.
Another said that the square sailor collar and black neckerchief mimicked the wide collar points and black cravat worn by fashionable gentlemen during this period.
Amber similarly acknowledges that the now iconic sailor collar has quote-unquote murky origins. While forerunners have traced it back to the 17th century, the collar as we know it began to take its distinctive shape in the late 18th century. Whatever its exact origins, this square collar was part of the official sailor uniform when it was finally regulated in 1857. But as Amber goes on to tell us, quote, in reality, it regulated what was already the norm on many ships.
Yeah, in fact, the British Royal Navy sailor uniform, aforementioned being regulated in 1857, was actually based on those already being worn by sailors on Queen Victoria's royal yacht. And it was these sailor summer uniforms, which consisted of a white pant and white shirt, that employed the now iconic square sailor collar. In fact, April, Queen Victoria loved this uniform so much that in 1846, she had the sailor tailor make one up in miniature for her 4-year-old son, Prince Albert, the future King Edward VII.
And I think it might surprise our listeners to know, Cass, that it was this four-year-old prince who was largely responsible for making the sailor collar fashionable. Royal portraitist Franz Winterhalter immortalized the young lad in this adorable replica outfit in an 1846 portrait, and the image of the sailor-attired prince was subsequently disseminated to the public through prints. And it was not long before everyone's children, both girls and boys alike, were wearing their own sailor-inspired ensembles.
Which, of course, continues into today. And something I actually found quite charming was that it was Prince Albert's future oh-so-fashionable wife, Alexandra, who had helped to make the sailor collar haute-fashionable for women. So by the late 1860s in Harper's Bazaar, for instance, you do start seeing the first references to sailor collars in women's dress, especially those worn beachside for the obvious nautical references. But when Princess Alexandra stepped out, April, in the 1880s in her impeccably tailor-made suit with its sailor collar, well, there was just no going back. And I have to wonder if she knew the reference she was making to her husband as a child. And, you know, of course, we did an episode about the fashionable Queen Consort of England, Queen Alexandra, with Kate Strasden last season. So check it out.
Yeah. And the collar eventually found its way into women's sportswear around the same time, being worn on everything from basketball uniforms to bathing suits and eventually school uniforms. And as we already know, the sailor collar is one of those reoccurring themes among many fashion designers' work, from Schiaparelli's famous 1920s trompe l'oeil sweater to numerous works by Jean-Paul Gaultier. The sailor collar will surely continue to charm its way into the future.
As will the Peter Pan collar, April. So
menopause, perimenopause, these can be some of the most uncomfortable phases of a woman's life. If you find yourself in either of these, well, Hormone Harmony is here for you. Hormone Harmony capsules contain science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it really shows.
And get this, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it is perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold.
And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DRESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DRESSED for 15% off today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
While we're on the subject of collars, we thought it only fitting to answer another listener collar inquiry. Hannah actually wrote to us in April inquiring about the origins of the so-called Peter Pan collar.
What we know today as a Peter Pan collar is essentially a flat collar with curved edges. And it is a staple design feature and has been for quite some time. But just where did it earn its name?
And this actually required substantially less digging than the sailor question, and one that actually has a pretty concise answer. The Peter Pan collar earned its name because it was worn by, well, Peter Pan, the most famous boy who never wanted to grow up. Okay, it was not actually worn by Peter Pan, but rather the woman playing Peter Pan in the 1905 Broadway production, to be exact, Maude Adams.
And yes, you heard cast correctly. It was actually quite common at this time for women to play the roles of boys in productions, and this popular play was no exception. And actually, Cass, Disney just announced their upcoming live televised production of Peter Pan, and they have selected actress Allison Williams to play the part, who some of you might know from Girls.
Yes, there's actually quite a long history of women in the role of Peter Pan in J.M. Barrie's popular play, Peter Pan, or The Boy Who Wouldn't Grow Up. And actually, it was actress Nina Boussicault who originated the role in the play's debut in London in 1904. However, it was the American actress Maude Adams who would make the role internationally famous when she debuted the role on Broadway in New York to great fanfare on November 6, 1905.
The New York Times heralded, quote, "A joyous night with Peter Pan. Maude Adams triumphs as the boy who would not grow up." Continuing on, saying, "Maude Adams is Peter, most ingratiatingly simple and sympathetic, true to the fairy idea, true to the child nature, lovely, sweet, and wholesome. She combines all the delicate sprightliness and the gentle, wistful pathos necessary to the role, and she is supremely in touch with the spirit of it all."
And reading about this production, actually, I found it so incredibly lovely that one of the parts of the play is that is this audience participation. So when Tinkerbell is dying, Peter invites the audience, who is presumably mostly adults, to save the waning fairy by clapping to show that they believed in fairies. And I just found that really, really magical and special. And I don't know, April, are you familiar with the Robin Williams movie Hook?
Of course.
That's one of my absolute favorite childhood movies, starring Robin Williams and Julia Roberts. And then, of course, there's also the film Finding Neverland, which is more about the fictionalized, semi-fictionalized version of Barrie's relationship with the family that inspired the making of Peter Pan. So if you haven't seen either of those movies, I highly suggest checking them out.
Yeah, and just to touch back on the play a little bit, the play was a huge success, and Maude even took her role to an international audience when she toured Europe, and images were spread around the globe depicting the actress and character, with her leaf-covered costume adorned with, you guessed it, a curved, flat, falling collar. So just as we saw with the buckled slipper associated with the popular comic book strip Buster Brown, we've already done a mini-sode about this, his girlfriend Mary Jane would become Mary Jane's shoes. So exactly the same thing happened here. This collar henceforth became associated in the popular imagination with this fictional character, Peter Pan.
Remember, we love hearing from you. So if you'd like to write to us, you can do so at hello@dressedhistory.com, or you can also DM us on Instagram @dressed_podcast, which is of course where you'll find reels and posts accompanying each week's episodes. We get so many questions from you all about our recommendations for fashion history books. So if you're interested, you can always find a link in our show notes to our bookshop bookshelf. So that address is bookshop.org/shop/dressed. And there you can find over 150 of our favorite fashion history titles.
You can also find a link to that in our show notes, where you can find a link to dressedhistory.com, which of course is our website, where you can check out our latest offerings from the Dressed universe. That includes our classes and our tours. So head on over to dressedhistory.com and see what we have up our sleeves. Love Dressed but want to skip the ads? Consider subscribing to our ad-free version of the show for just $3 a month and enjoy our 8 new episodes a month ad-free. That does it for us today, Dress listeners. Thank you as always for tuning in, and more Dress coming your way very soon. Dress, the History of Fashion, is a production of Dressed Media.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.